Hello, everyone. This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen episode 2 of 2023's Waco the Aftermath and you really want to know what happens, have a watch of that before you have a listen to this podcast in full. But you can totally listen to the first little bit because we're going to be chatting shit. And actually, I think I know what we're going to be talking about, which is the Oscars, the 2024 Oscars. So if you also don't want that spoiled, don't listen. But also, we have a tendency to spoil a lot of things, movies, television, without thinking about it. We're the Spoiler Boys, and this is your spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where two friends, also known as the Spoiler Boys, watch one thing tangentially linked to John Leguizamo each week and then talk about other stuff and then it for a bit. We're going to do a restructure soon. So it's less unclear. My name is Zachary Rowain. I'm one of those co-hosts. You might know me from my favorite Oscar-winning film. You might know me as the guy that regretted saying my favorite Oscar-winning film because he doesn't really have one on hand and would have to think about it. I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful, wonderful, talented... clever co-host and friend, Mish Witrup, who you might know from...
Oh, my God. The first movie I thought of when you said Oscar-winning film was La Vita Bella, the Roberto Benigni film that won Best International Film.
Oh, wow.
Which is an incredible film, but I don't know if it's my favourite.
Yeah, it's good.
But that was the first one that popped into my head. That's probably because he did such a phenomenal acceptance speech, like the most memorable.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Zach. I'm schwitzing.
Yeah, we're schwitzing up a storm. We are recording this. I would love to say that this was deliberate, but we are recording this immediately after the Academy Awards. Mm. And that makes it sound like we were like, you know what? Can't bank this one. We got to make sure we get in and record straight after the Oscars. That's not the case. It's a coincidence. But if anyone knows, you know, listening back... Mm. Australia, Melbourne specifically, has had a bit of a heat spell.
Oh, my goodness. So,
recording this on a Monday, Labor Day, it's hot.
And if you are Leguizamarama listeners from way back when, I believe a year ago, Zach and I also recorded in the heat.
Mm.
And we ended up naked. Well, no, we did naked. Not full naked, but we ended up sitting in our, like, underwear. Just sweating. God, that was hot.
Schwitzing up a storm.
And so we're in another little hot room right now recording this pod and it's all for you.
All for you.
So we watched the Oscars. Well, I watched bits of the Oscars. You watched the Oscars.
No, I watched most of the Oscars.
Okay.
I had the Oscars on, you know, I don't know how many international listeners we have, but, you know, the Oscars happen at 10 a.m. in Australia. And it's a public holiday today. So it just sort of happened to fall at a time where, oh, hey, I can watch the Oscars. So I had it on, but I did sleep in a tiny bit, so I missed the opening monologue. But then I watched it afterwards on the internet. Nice. So I watched most of the Oscars, yeah.
And I was just saying that and I'm happy to talk about this on the pod, just saying to Zach that, like, I don't know, I feel like a wanker saying this because it's also not a...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Revolutionary concept. Mm. I'm not the first person to say this. But the older I get, the more, like, I just don't have any tolerance for this celebrity on celebrity worship thing.
Mm.
Like, where celebrities just, like, go and, like, give each other big ass kisses at events like this, at talk shows. I know I've talked about it before, like my least favorite thing about American, specifically American talk shows, not all of them, is this like, and I'd like to bring out Julia Roberts as an example. And Julia Roberts comes out and they're like, I love you. I love you. We went for dinner last weekend at my house. You came over and you brought your partner and my partner was, oh, we played games. I love you. I have loved you. We've been friends now for like 30 years and this is the work you're doing right now is the best work I've ever seen because I love you.
Yeah.
And you love me too. And we just love each other. Shut up.
There was
like,
a time.
I don't want to hear about like just rich people loving rich people.
There was a time where the Tonight shows went to like the best hosts, and then it fell. And Tonight shows and the Today shows in the last 20 years, 25 years, have been taken over by the mover shakers, by the sycophants and the mover shakers. There's still a few funny ones, but there is a lot of people where it's like, oh, I can tell. You got this job because you're the guy at the party that orders a tonic with no gin and sits on that all night and gets there early, stays till the end of the night and is just like the whole time.
Oh, God.
And it's like, that's fine. That's a great way to get the job. I respect people that do that. It's a very hard thing to do. Being a movie shaker is a lot of work and I give them credit. But if that's all they know how to do when they start doing it on the talk show, it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. I don't care how you got on this show. Yeah. Now just be funny and ask some questions.
To me, it's just this crazy, like, everyone loves whatever the most, like whoever these famous actors and actresses and celebrities are. And it's just the needing to reiterate, like, you might love them, but they know me and we actually personally know each other, which makes me just as cool. It's that. It's this kind of like they run in the same circles as me and I run in the same circles as them. And together we all just jerk each other off. I don't know. It's just that being said, if I got asked on one of these shows and they were like, I love you. You're the best comedian I've ever seen. The funniest woman I've ever seen come out of Australia. You are hot. You are reinventing hot. I'd be like, absolutely I am. And yes, you can come over for dinner. And yes, we can post pictures together on Instagram. Absolutely. But just watching it, it's just like...
My biggest problem is when I do, like, my problem is I hate that so much now that I've gotten bad at giving compliments because I'm so like, oh, shut the fuck up. Whenever anyone gives a compliment on, and this is a problem on this, I reckon you could go back and listen to me on this program, not give a compliment. We only get people on this podcast that we think are funny, that we like, and I'll just not compliment them. And it's like, oh no, I should be nicer, but I just am so sick of people like that I'm like, I then don't. And it's like, there's a balance.
I do. I tell people if I really like them.
No, you like, do. You're good at it.
No, well, I tell people, but I'm not in that fame world, you know what I mean? So, like, it's a bit different if... There is a difference
no,
between...
No, but the line, what I'm saying is you got to be careful because one day you might be and then suddenly, oh.
No. I think it's an interesting start. This is probably very... People are just like, why are they being so aggressive? Zach and Mish, well, they're aggressive fans today. No, I'm just saying that there is a difference. I can understand what you're saying, but, like, if we take, for example... Ellen and Sandra Bullock, it's like you guys are so far above the rest of us in terms of like your privilege and your like the accolades you get and the celebration of your successes. Like just like basking in how awesome you guys are is just really gross to watch. I think it's quite an American thing, but it's like just watching two plus is usually like in groups as well.
They do it in groups now.
Yeah. It's like watching just groups of privileged rich people just going, hey, man, we are like, we're awesome. It's like, oh, God.
What I'm saying, though, is where is the line? At what level of fame, at what level of success, at what level of doing well, do you become an asshole for complimenting your peers? What happened? Like, is it, yeah, just at what point? I don't think it's clear But it's just like, you know, you do this podcast, you do another podcast. That's people true. Start listening. Oh, you write a web series. That does well. You're in a show. Mm. Suddenly you're doing a movie. You're the funny person opposite Sandra Bullock. And then someone asks you, what do you think of Sandra Bullock? And she was lovely.
No, well, that's the thing. No, there's a difference. I think that there's this, like, certain level of fame.
I know.
You hit fame land, like Sandra Bullock and Ellen, who wouldn't ever go to the super. Sandra Bullock might, but don't go to the supermarket anymore. You know what I mean?
No, I get it.
Your Beyoncé's, your Lady Gaga's, your Bradley Cooper's, that kind of level. And it's just like... you're just so deeply removed from reality. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just so... Oh.
That line's always going to be somewhere in front of me, though.
But also, here's something I'd like... This is interesting. Do you have an opinion on Raya or Raya?
Raya.
So it's a dating...
Oh, the famous people dating.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion on it?
I'm on it. No, I'm joking. Do I have an opinion on it? No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I just think it's interesting.
I could form one if we talk about it for a bit, but no, I don't think I do.
I read an article, and it might have, I believe it was for The Guardian maybe, which I thought was really interesting about Raya and about how they're not even lying to each other anymore about how I'm just like you. It's like you get to a certain level and it's like I don't even want to associate with the people I used to hang out, like I used to be or who aren't where I'm at. Like I literally will only date within my circles.
What?
And I thought it was interesting because it's like, I think I kind of get, like, it's people who date within their, like, it's the same thing, like, when doctors date other doctors or other medical professionals. Mm. It's like you understand the industry, you understand, you know,
how it all operates. Not only that, I think fame is a very, 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 very specific kind of experience that is more than just your career. Mm-hmm. It's something that one gives up that. And unless someone's been through it or knows someone that's been through it, they don't, never truly understand what it's like, mm-hmm. right? And I do think that there's something to, like, having that shared lived experience. And the other thing I would say is at that level of fame, mm. right, it would be very, very hard to, A, meet people that aren't famous, mm-hmm. B, know that they're not, know that their intentions are pure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there are certain... I would marry certain famous people because I'd be like...
Oh, 100%. I've been in a relationship for 4 years now. I love my partner. I love him more every single day. But if Bradley Cooper, who I'm not even that fond of really as like an actor or anything, I'm not a big Bradley
he's
Cooper.
He's good. He's solid.
Fine.
Yeah, I like
if
Bradley
he said,
Cooper.
Let's get married, I'd be like... Yeah, all right.
Well, yeah. But I feel like he'd be like, oh, do you want to go on a date? And you'd be like, oh, okay. And then he'd be like, hey, you want to go on a second date? And you'd be like, all right. And then he'd be like, you know, I've known you for 10 years now. Mm. I think we know each other. Do you want to get married? And you'd still be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I get that, yeah.
On one level, I get it. I think it's... Whatever.
No, I understand.
I think it's less about, you know, I think because it's hard to know. I think it's more about the fact that we watch it. I think I don't love award ceremonies, full stop. I don't love them at our level.
Mm.
So I don't love them at any level. And I don't think people do. It's just a gross feeling and it plays to a part of the ego that doesn't help creativity. What I do hate specifically... is actors.
Yeah. No,
and yep. I say that as someone who, like, trained as an actor, is an actor. I don't want to say I am an actor because I haven't had enough success as an actor to, like, back that up. But whenever I love Hollywood Reporter Roundtable. I think that's such a blast to watch. The ones I don't watch are the actor ones, specifically the best male actor ones.
Yeah.
But both of them are terrible.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. It is that they're worst. They're the worst.
The best female actor is all right, but you can tell that they're tired and hungry and they apologize too much. Mm-hmm. The best male actor...
Jesus, Zach,
you just
said some shit just then.
It's so... The level of fucking... And I do, but the level of fucking talking that they do, and they do... It's not just the congratulations. It's the, like... It's just the way actors can fucking bang on about shit.
But not even shit. Yes, bang on about shit, but bang on about shit that they have impacted and that they do. What they, male actors, man, what they have done for the industry. Do you know what I mean? Like the impact that they have had, but with their friends. It's like, hey, man, I've actually known you for a really long time and we used to work together. Do you remember? And like back then we used to do this and look where we've come now. It's just, it's honestly, you might as well just suck him off. You might as well, like, honest to God, it's just, it's crazy.
But that was why, like, Cillian Murphy's win, he won for Oppenheimer, was one, because of a great performance.
Yeah.
And two, was a real win for, like painfully, like, humble people.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy that's just like,
And, is he though? Because now he's in modelling campaigns.
No, but he's beautiful. He does his job.
100% he is beautiful, but you can't be that humble if you're like, actually, no, I'm not that spit, and then you just go and do a Calvin Klein ad.
No, but if you're beautiful, like, whatever. If you're beautiful and people are like, you want to do a Calvin Klein ad, you do the Calvin Klein
ad.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Actually, to be honest with you, I don't have beef with Cillian Murphy.
He's a beautiful guy, yeah. And he's talented. And modelling is what modelling is. I think the issue is when it's like, you're brilliant. No, you're brilliant.
Yeah.
And he, I think, doesn't love that.
Mm.
And also Hot Priest, the guy that played
Hot Priest. Hot Priest, yeah, love Hot Priest.
Andrew Scott, is that his name?
Yeah, something like that, some shit.
The way he, like, deflects any bullshit in interviews is so, like...
Is Cillian Murphy British?
Irish.
Okay. Well, they're not American either.
No.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
But no, but what I will say is that a British person that's like that is the toughest.
Yeah.
Or an Australian. Someone who...
Because you don't expect it, I think.
Someone who wears the skin of an Englishman. Because I love Americans, but it's like someone who wears the skin of an Englishman. Oh, I'm shy and I don't talk to people, but you're brilliant. Mm. It's like, okay then. But no,
it's
I
the
love
same to, with an Australian, actually, though.
Yeah, anyone that is too good at it, that is too good at it, it's like, oh, you're just like, you're just colouring in.
To me, the worst, can we do specifics, do you think?
Well,
there is no way in hell I'm ever going to work with this person, and also I don't really feel... Ooh.
It's a small world, right. Mish.
There is a...
And also, you don't want to be mean. We don't have to be specific.
Oh, I don't mind being mean about this guy. There's this a very popular... I won't say his name.
If you want. It's entirely...
No, I'll just make it really obvious. There's this really popular character actor that did a lot of dramas, but now he does a lot of characters and works specifically with one director quite a bit. Recently did a big court case. He's in a fucking a perfume ad. It's just the worst bloke.
Let's call him.
He's in the, like, I can't stand him. He is the epitome of just like, I'm nothing like that. It's like, you are exactly like that. The way you're wearing 7 hats, 8 bandanas. You are exactly like that. And you act like everyone wants to fuck you. And when you were 23 years old and everyone did, and now when you're like 87 and no one wants to fuck you anymore, but you still act like every... Because you truly believe that because of where you are and how you kind of grew in this industry and because you're in this weird little fame land that everyone wants to be you or fuck you. And it makes me feel ill.
But what I will say is the people that I also... This is an our world thing. Because this is the thing. It's all a gradient. It's a gradient all the way up to there.
Mm.
The thing that there is also the kind of person that is so against that, that is so against, like, moving and shaking and like, playing the game.
Mm.
They're so against it that can be annoying as well.
Yeah.
They're so like, fuck the world and fuck everyone and I'm not going to play the game and I'm not going to go to the parties and fuck you. And then they're bitter when nothing happens for them.
100%.
And it's like, I'm not saying...
And maybe that's the thing, like 100%. If, like, let's just say the man with the 12 hats and the 8 bandanas is listening right now. I guarantee you he's not offended by what I've said. He's just like, she's jealous. She's working this industry that I've mastered and fuck her, right? And I get that. I sound bitter.
No, no, but I'm not even saying that. I'm not talking about him. I'm just sort of bringing up a different topic that person annoys me as well.
Of course.
Like, I don't think it's
different with comedians, though. Because, to a degree it is. Like, in terms of, like, you know, whatever. Because, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's easier to look up and criticise than it is to look internally or around and criticise is all I would say.
Yeah, this is true.
You know?
It's true. The end of the day. At the end of the day, congratulations if you made it. Like, and that is wonderful. And I think that is phenomenal. I just don't like the circle jerk. That's all I'm saying.
No, no.
I'm proud of people and I'm happy for people.
I hate the circle jerk at any level.
Any level.
And I think it's fun.
Go to independent theatre. I came from independent theatre. Yeah. The circle jerk there is hard and rough and unlubed and like... That circle jerk, and they're all poor. They're all like making 40K a year, if that.
Yeah.
Making independent theatre.
If that. Making like, 40K a year in their part-time jobs. They're not making any money from the independent
theatre. Zero money from theatre. Like making 40K in their part-time jobs. Like that's, yeah. If that. And that circle jerk is hard.
Well, like, that's almost the circle jerk I was talking about, right? Mm. That like I don't have the... There's a circle. Theatre's a great example, but that happens in comedy as well, where it's like I'm better than the people that are finding an audience. I'm better than movies because I make something. But then they're also like mad that people don't come to their thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe, you know, like, whatever. Like, it's all good. Just do what you like to do and figure it out and don't be a prick. And
yeah, pretty much. Anyway, after the break.
After the ad break.
After the ad break, we're going to say who we would actually do a real circle jerk with.
Oh, great.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. I hope you got a good little ad. I would do a circle jerk with...
That's like a circle of people though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought you had an idea of what you were going to say.
No,
I
think my answer is weird. Yeah, this is weird. My answer is no one I know. I don't think I would want to...
Great.
Yeah, so if I was to have to do a circle jerk, 100%. Like a real circle jerk, because as I was going through my head, then I meant maybe I'd take someone who's humble. Maybe I'd take a really good friend. It's like, I don't want to jerk off
I don't want to make this too gendered, but when you talk about a circle jerk, there's two questions I have. Mm. One is, like, what do you define a circle jerk as? And two, what do you see your place as in a circle jerk?
I feel like when I think of a circle jerk, it's like, I'm jerking you, you're jerking me.
Right.
Together.
It's a mutual masturbation.
You're not jerking yourself off.
No.
I'm jerking you off and you're jerking me off, but we're doing it for self-serving purposes.
Right, so when I think of a circle
jerk... I'm jerking you off with the hopes that you're jerking me off.
See, when I think of a circle jerk, I'm thinking maybe even individual jerking, but it's a group of people jerking together. Right, but even if it is... I think it's like, you know how Jesus said, if two or more are gathered in my name, that is, you know.
A circle jerk.
That is a congregation. That's what it is. It's like a circle jerk needs three.
Yeah.
Maybe even four. To be a circle jerk, there needs to be at least four.
I hear you.
That's my theory. And that's where I was like freaking out. But I don't know what a circle jerk is. You know, please write in if you do know what a circle jerk is. P.O. Box.
Yeah, if we've gotten it really wrong, I'm so sorry.
But my thing was when you said circle jerk, I was like, God, do I have to think of like five celebrities I would circle jerk with? Mm. And you know, jerk to me says penis. So I was like, do I have to think of five celebrities with penises that I would want to circle jerk with?
Mm.
I was like, that's a big ask.
Mm.
But if circle jerk is more mutual masturbation, well, that's an easy answer. No, I agree. I agree. Someone I don't know. I love the idea of just a bunch of people don't know each other. Yeah. It's like The Box.
Enjoying themselves.
Did you ever see The Box with Cameron Diaz?
Yes.
Where it's like when you press this button, someone you've never met will die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ideal circle jerk. Is it's like. Like five.
If you press this button, someone that you don't know will jerk off in front of you.
Yeah. You got five buttons, and it's like five different people. But it's like they've sat down, they've done an interview with you, they've worked out everything you like and want. Mm. They've gone, you know, what's your taste? Da 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 da. Mm. So they have a really good idea, and then they like have like a bunch of headshots. They go back to their office and they make the ideal circle jerk.
Mm.
And you're just one of them. You might not.
Oh, I hear you.
You know, it's like jury duty. You might not get. They come and interview you, and you might not get invited to the circle jerk for years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I hear you.
They just have you on file, and then years later, you get a call, and they're like, "It's time.
Mm.
Come here at this time, and it's going to be the jerk best, off. It's going to be the best circle jerk of your life because you don't know any of these people.
Yep.
But
you're all on the same page.
It's all going to really work.
That's beautifully said.
Mm.
All right, so let's talk about Waco the Aftermath episode 2.
If
we should. I've got a big blurb, actually. I wrote this last night while I was watching the episode. Thanks. In episode 2 of Waco the Aftermath, we continue to learn about the pre-Waco siege period to help us understand the happenings of the post-Waco siege period. In a bunch of 80s flashbacks, we see that Vernon's power and influence within the Branch Davidians continues to grow quite rapidly, presumably because Lois, who was the then leader, is super horny for him, and they do private kissies together. Mm. So we've discovered that they're actually doing kissies. Vernon's growing popularity isn't fully embraced by everyone at the Branch Davidians, and he's shot at a bunch of times.
Mm.
Also, Callie I think it's Rocker, but it could be Rocha, is there, and she played one of my favourite characters on Buffy. I'm more than happy to discuss this further after my blurb. Michael Shannon raids the home of a far-right white supremacist's home, and I'm hoping Zach understands what was happening in this more than me because I got confused. We're also introduced to a brand new character who is tall and skinny. His name is Tim. He's trying to get a group of mates together to bring down the government out of fear that after the Waco siege, him and his other skinny white mates are in danger of meeting a similar fate. Back in the courtroom, an ATF agent spouts some bullshit on the stand, lying about the Branch Davidians and saying that they shot at the agents first. Mm. But Geodaddy Ribisi totally wrecks him with some sick evidence and some cross-examination. After that, while taking a piss, Giovanni Ribisi is confronted by Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch movies and told
That's who it is.
Yeah, and told to ask about the doors of the Branch Davidians compound because they were in fact made of metal, not wood, and are being hidden by the feds. John Leguizamo was in the opening credits and continues to be billed as special guest appearance but that was it. He was not in this episode. But technically he was, so I don't mind doing an episode about it on this podcast. What we will need to discuss is I have found out he is not in the rest of the series.
Spoiler warning. I knew, I could tell. As soon as he wasn't in this one, I was like, oh, he's out. In it. There was like a chance he would show up in the court case.
That's what I was hoping.
Do we need to just address the elephant in the room, which is that John Leguizamo wasn't in it?
He was.
He was in the opening title.
And it wasn't like it was just his name. It was a picture of him.
He was in it.
So he was in it.
He was in it.
But that also means that he is technically in the next 3 episodes. But do we continue on recording this?
We can. There's an element of that which is a post-podcast. An element which is like, I just I want to keep watching this.
Well, then I pitch to you. This is something we should do in a meeting, really. This is not podcast appropriate.
This is the most.
We watch the next 3 and do it in 1 episode.
That's a great pitch, and you will find out next week.
If that landed in the meeting.
You will find out how that meeting went in the next episode. I thought that it was a fun episode. There's so little to say. It's so much more of the same.
I will say this now that John Leguizamo is not in it anymore. It does not have the chutzpah of the original Waco. Not to take away the cast. Phenom cast, right? I find it very interesting, but it's not the story of Waco, the Waco siege, which is this incredible story. It's kind of like, oh, and this is what happened afterwards. You know what I mean? It's like, but the way, like the actual siege, was such a phenomenal story. And fuck, that original series had that had real grip on your balls.
Yeah, I mean, it was the, there was a re- my thing is, I can't say until I've watched the whole thing. I can't say, but they are my, the funniest thing for me, the funniest layer of this show. I like it. I'm enjoying it. But the funniest layer for me is the way they keep trying to make this neo-Nazi thing with Michael Shannon have anything to do with Waco.
Yeah.
To the level that now I'm like, if they had said it twice, once, I would have gone, oh, yeah, this is related to Waco. But because they say it in every scene, I'm like, this has nothing to do with
what
they're
trying to suggest is that a whole bunch of small white supremacist groups are coming together to take down the government out of fear that the Waco siege was just the first of many.
I think, I don't know, and I will try to learn more as I go, but I also don't want it to be spoiled, so it's a bit of a balancing act. I think what happened was, that guy went on to do something very interesting, and there's this interesting true story that happened with this neo-Nazi Patriots thing, right? I think it had tangential links to Waco in the sense that all things are connected in history, you know, in the sense that, yes, Waco did create a mistrust in the government, and that in a story featuring hundreds of real people, you can find the connections. And there probably are essays, even PhDs connecting whatever this story is about to Waco, right? But I don't think it's, like, linked to Waco.
Yep.
And I think that if they had just had him going on to solving this neo-Nazi thing. There's a moment in it where he's talking to a neo-Nazi girl played by an Australian model.
Mm. She is the most beautiful junkie you will ever see in your whole life. And that is such an example of, we need a female junkie, young. Make her hot, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't just have someone who looks like a fucking junkie. Like, make her hot, though. Like, there's this model that's decided she's on heroin and lives in a trailer park. Okay, son. Like, she's beautiful.
It's, yeah. There's this moment in it where Michael Shannon goes like, oh, I can, you know, if you go undercover with the neo-Nazis, I can protect you. And then she's like, what, like you did to the people in Waco? Mm. And it's played with this, like, impact, right? And it has it in a level, but also every other scene that Michael Shannon has done has had a line along the lines of, what, like in Waco?
Yeah.
And it's like that. All, if they had just had that one line, that would have been enough of a link.
Absolutely.
But they keep drawing it back to Waco.
Also, my other issue with that, like that scene, I didn't have an issue with that scene, actually. I thought it was quite well acted. But she's wearing like a cardigan that's just fallen off her shoulder, and she's got a swastika tattoo on her shoulder, right? But it's just a Sharpie. Like, it's the most fresh tattoo. Like, you know, when you first get a tattoo, like a black ink tattoo, it's it looks like Sharpie on your body.
Yeah.
It's that. It's like she could wash that off. Like, it's just a very, very poor representation of
tattoos
a tattoo.
Tattoos are tough.
Tattoos are tough. I will give you that. Do you know what I wish of this series?
What?
I wish that they had just focused on pre-Waco, like the Branch Davidians, the building of Vernon and his position within it. I find that easily the most interesting, because when I watch the original Waco series, it's like they all just follow this guy blindly. Like, he's saying, we have to stay. And it's all consensual. He's not keeping anyone there against their will, like based on the evidence of this show and the shit I've read and history. He's not keeping anyone there against their will. No one is doing anything that they don't want to do consensually. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? And how did? And it's like, that to me is far more interesting. Mm. Like, that is what I want to focus on. Like, or the court cases.
That kind of I'm feeling as a cohesive whole. Mm. I'm feeling the court case with the flashbacks.
Yeah.
They've made work. Like, this idea that we're after the case, we're trying these five French Davidians, and then we're having flashbacks to how they got pulled into the cult.
Oh, Zach Fab got that director brain on real good and sexy.
Well, it's just what's there. It works. And then you can just tell, because Michael Shannon is a great actor.
Yeah.
We love Michael Shannon. Yeah. Michael Shannon's on the on every
Yeah, make
poster.
Him the defense lawyer.
What? No, just... You just got to go like, we love Michael Shannon, but I don't think this
nah,
is
there's
his
a place,
story.
There's a place for him in that cast. And then
But what I mean is if you're doing a follow-up and Michael Shannon's character was not particularly relevant, you just go, you know, The Wire did
your
that.
Babies.
The Wire did that with season two. It just threw out, I've not seen season two of The Wire, but which is very, but like they just threw out main characters because they're like, now the story is this.
Yeah, or... create an entirely different show where there is a federal agent trying to bring down small white supremacist groups in Middle America.
Yeah,
that's
actually.
That's really interesting. But I just, it's distracting in terms of the story of.
Paramount, our pitch to you is Waco the Aftermath. Mm. That's one series.
Yeah.
And simultaneous to that.
How sick is this thing we want to do?
A spin-off. Yeah. A spin-off. You had one Waco. Mm. Now you like that. We've got two shows for you. One is about the Aftermath and one is about Michael Shannon's character going off. And he will cameo as a witness in this one. So there'll be a bit of cross-pollinating.
Like Private Practice.
Yeah, or like CSI Miami.
Or like Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, when Buffy comes to Angel's town.
Yeah.
I was talking about that last night with someone. I haven't even seen that episode. Apparently it's great.
It's great.
But that is...
There's this episode of Buffy where she gets a phone call and she picks up the phone. She's like, hello? Hello? And then hangs up the phone because no one answers. But if you watch Angel the same week, he calls Buffy but can't speak.
Fuck, that's great.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, Joss. Yuck, you're gross, but that's...
he gets that.
Yeah, he got
but
that.
But no, that's. I think that both... It is a really... Look, it might come together, that's why... But it really feels like right now two great shows happening separately. And really, I think the one I'm very much drawn to from a writing perspective, from a storytelling perspective, is the one you said, is the two you said, which I think work together.
I like
prequel
the,
and sequel.
Yeah, I think you can put those two together. I love the idea of the five characters and looking at each of them, and each episode is how they got to where they are. That's really interesting to me. And then it's just a bit blurry otherwise. And because I'm less invested in Lois and Vernon because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the Nazi situation and Michael Shenanza, like... But...
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I feel comfortable saying all of this stuff because I fucking loved the first series. I loved Waco. I thought it was so good. And also, John's not in it, and that's a travesty. And I really want to know... We've got, like, a little tiny bank, well, I do anyway, of questions I would ask John Leguizamo should I ever be given the opportunity to be in front of him and know that I'm never going to see him again so I can embarrass myself. One of the questions I'd ask is, why did you get that credit in this?
How did that play out?
How did that happen for you? Because you're only in it for... It's a blink and you miss it kind of cameo. It's an excellent cameo, great reveal. But how did that happen for you?
I don't know a lot about, like, the industry at that level, but I feel like... I remember seeing something it was an actor who said yes to a role and their agent told them not to, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a really, it might have been something quite recent, it was a really like award, like a really like loved role, but the agent was like, you can't take a step back. I wish I knew what it was, but basically... I wonder if there's a part of me that's like, it's an agent thing where they're like, you just did like fucking the menu and you're on the rise. You just got your end credit. You can't now backtrack and do one scene of a TV show. That's not how it works. And he's just like, I'll do it. Like he's got, there's a part of me that's like, he just loves to act and he'll do whatever. And then the agents got in their head some bullshit. You know what I mean? So they're like, all right, you can do the scene, but you have to be credited as blah, 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 blah. It's got that vibe. It's got 100%. Like weird Hollywood vibes that I think had nothing to do with it.
100%.
That's my vibe on it.
No, I get that.
But also it's an interesting layer. It's just such a... I just feel like...
And it's probably... If you didn't study John Leguizamo and have a podcast about him, you probably wouldn't notice.
No. Yeah. It's just an interesting... I think the whole... I'd be fascinated to know It is an interesting thing. Like, where did the decisions come to? Was it like Michael Shannon had already signed on,
mm-hmm.
and then they did the writer's room, they realized that he wasn't really a character in it, but it was too late, he was already on?
Mm.
Was it like that, you know, or was it more like, oh, it won't happen without Michael Shannon? Is he now enough of a pull? Like, or, you know, I would just love to know the politics.
The Hollywood
of it.
Politics of that.
And just the executives and who said what, and like, how did that play out? Like, it's a super interesting. Yeah. You know, I'm enjoying it.
Same. I mean, I'm watching it. I'll watch the next three episodes.
Yeah.
And I feel like because we will watch them, we will do an episode about them. But no, I'm enjoying it. And such a treat. I got to say, side note, this is just for Mish.
Go for it, Mish.
I love how often I watch something of the level of Waco or Waco the Aftermath and a Buffy cameo pops up. It happens all the time.
So who's the Buffy character? Which one?
I'm going to say it's Callie Rocker. I don't know if it's Rocha, but I'm going to go with Rocker because it's spelled like Mocha, but with an R. Callie Rocker played Helfrek, who was Anya's best friend when they were both demons.
Right, so but who is she in this?
Ruth, the one who catches them doing kisses.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got a thought on her. It's very throwaway and not to be. She looks a lot like Roz Hammond, the comedic actress from Australia, and that's been very distracting to me.
Okay.
I found her to look so much like Roz Hammond, who was in my favourite sketch show, The McAuliffe Program. I find it distracting
how much she looks
like Roz Hammond.
Okay.
I love Roz Hammond, and Roz Hammond would be great in that role, but she just looks so much like
Roz
Hammond.
That's so interesting. I don't see Roz Hammond at all.
But what you see is Buffy.
I see Buffy. I see Helfrek. I see a very, very specific scene, but I don't want to spoil the Buffy.
Yeah.
But I love, because Buffy had so many cameos, right?
Yeah.
So many. But Helfrek would be my top five cameo roles. She pops in every once in a while as well. She probably has done maybe six episodes. It's got a lot of fun.
It's an interesting, there's something like Law and Order-y about it. Like
she was on Law and Order too.
Oh, well, yeah, they've been in everything. But it's like if they had gone, all right, Michael Shannon's out. He's off in the spin-off. And now he's handballing to Giovanni Ribisi.
Mm.
Now this is Giovanni Ribisi's show. Like, there's something kind of fun about that, and it's like who lifts up as new main
How
characters.
How fun would
and
Waco
drops.
The Aftermath be if the front cover wasn't Michael Shannon in front of an American flag, but Giovanni Ribisi?
Yeah, like in how full baller daddy would, mode. And it's just like, hey,
baller for Giovanni, like to get a front cover.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Just this idea of like season one was this awesome show with Michael Shannon in the lead.
Mm.
Now it's just a whole different show with a new lead. That's super interesting. It's hard to there's so much politics there, but
I really would have loved to have done a different podcast to this one. No, I love that we watched John Leguizamo's stuff, but it would have been really cool if we did commit to the 1 month. We do a different character actor kind of deal.
We had that idea so late in the game.
I know.
You say that like we were tossing up between Leguizamo.
No, we weren't. We were about a year and a half deep.
I think, I know what you're saying, but I think if we had done that, we would have a lot more listeners. But.
Yep.
But we would have watched, with Leguizamo, we would have watched Tu Wong Fu, we would have watched Chef, we would have watched Romeo and Juliet, and we would have watched Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Right? And then we would have continued down that path of like movies we had either seen and loved or knew about.
Yeah.
And yes, that's more entertaining to the listener.
Yeah.
But I have grown so much and learnt so much. I feel like I know more at a really fundamental level about a lot of things because of this project.
100%.
Like, I just think, for example, I keep forgetting to bring this up. I watched Blood for Dracula the other day.
Yeah.
Which is an earlier film from the director of Mixed Blood.
Mixed Blood, yeah.
I'm trying to find Flesh for Frankenstein, which was a movie he made.
Is it not on Broly?
No, neither of them are.
Oh, okay.
No. Broly's got a lot of good stuff, but
yeah, I had a look through Broly.
Yeah.
Did a big list of what a big watch list the other day on Broly.
No, I think I had to pay for Blood for Dracula. So Blood for Dracula was presented by Andy Warhol. And it's fascinating. I'm going down this path and it's like, that's a real, you know, there's something now that I'm going down this path, and this film was pretty fun. It's about Dracula needs to leave Transylvania to find virgin blood, so he goes to Italy, where you would love it, Mish. Actually, he goes to Italy because the Catholic Church has a lot more power there, so there's more likely to be virgins. And then he goes to this like villa where he's saying that he's trying to find a bride. And he's picking out of three sisters, but two of them are sluts.
Great.
And then whenever he drinks the slut's blood, I'm saying it like, whenever he drinks their blood, he like vomits it up.
Yucky sluts.
Yeah, it's so
yucky,
funny.
Gross sluts.
And it's like, but it's so camp and it's so ironic, I think, but then this guy, the director,
that's
is a Catholic.
Fun.
And like, he has this assistant who, because of his accent, I think he's German, says virgins instead of virgins.
Virgins.
He's like, we have to go to Italy to get you virgin blood. And it ends.
That's like in Cabaret, Joel Grey's character is like, all of them virgins.
Yeah, right. So if you love that one line in Cabaret, he says a virgin 100 times in this film. He just keeps saying virgin, virgin, virgin. And then it ends, the movie ends, spoiler alert for Blood for Dracula, everyone. But it ends with like this one other character that I'll mention who's just this hot, hot American dude who was in his earlier films, and he's one of... Andy Warhol just loved him because he was hot.
Okay.
And he looks like Rocky from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he just has this thick American accent, and he's playing the like Italian servant. So they're just like, "Oh, you're so beautiful." And he's like, "I don't give a damn about this Dracula guy."
That's so
like
funny.
Everyone's got these European accents, but he's like, "I'm just a humble Italian man, and when the Marxists come and get you rich people," it's so funny.
Well, that's like the mixed blood that we just watched, where all these Latina, like these thick, like Latina accents and stuff, and then just this one, I was just like, "What are you doing? Wait, where are you going? Come back to bed."
That's exactly what it is. He's just like, "I'm an Italian man, and I don't give a damn what you say,
someone
lady."
From Puberty Blues comes in. "Hey, where are you going?
Where are you going? I'm Marilyn Monroe."
Come back to bed.
The movie ends with him chasing around the Dracula, chopping off his arms and legs.
Oh my god!
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's stupid. Okay.
So that what I'm saying is that without this podcast, I might have maybe eventually gotten to Blood for Dracula because I had heard about it tangentially. Probably wouldn't have. But I definitely wouldn't be aware of that guy's 1980s mixed blood. You know what I mean? That's interesting. It's just nice to know about that. It shines a light in interesting places.
One day I'll be in a little underground bar somewhere in like Belgium that sits eight people, and some sexy man with a shirt unbuttoned down to his belly button will be like, "Have you ever watched, there's this little movie named called Mixed Blood?" And I'll be like, "I've actually seen it," and then I'm gonna fuck that man.
Wow, Mish, maybe you'll even circle jerk with him.
Fingers crossed. This gets half a Leguistamo.
Yeah. No. For me, it gets 1.5 Leguistamos.
I'm going to give it 1. I think half was a bit of a stretch. 1 because I still get a little kick out of the guest starring thing.
Yeah, for me it's 1.5 because like you said, he's still in it.
Mm.
And how nice that he's in that opening title
so
with his face right
funny
at the end.
Though.
Special guest for a thing he's not even in.
So funny that Speed has more Leguistamos than this.
True. True.
All right. What can Tom take us away with?
Just Oscar-y sounding music. Music that sounds like it's from the Oscars.
Hey, Tom, we're going to give you the award for best Leguizamarama sound editor ever. Do your acceptance speech, please, over some Oscars music.
Ah, bless.
Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week. We'll probably be... Oh, we might be talking about Waco. I don't know. Let us know
we'll
if you want us
definitely talk about Waco.
Yeah?
Got to wrap it up.
All right, yeah, we're going to wrap it up.
If we might talk about one episode of Waco, we might talk about two, we might talk about three... But there's no question, I'm finishing Waco.
We're going to finish Waco. All right, have a good week, guys. We'll speak to you next week. See ya.
Thank you so much for this award. I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Mish and Zach, of course. Without your talent, there's no way I could win this prestigious award. Mish, thank you for always believing in me. Zach, thank you. so believing in me. I'm just so happy. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.